Welcome to Oikast. I hear green.
The podcast presented by Oikos Vienna.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Oikast. My name is Malena, and today I'm here with my colleagues from Oikos Vienna, Melina and Lucia, who are going to tell you a bit about the climate simulation workshop we did a few weeks ago in cooperation with Teachers for Future. And today is actually the perfect occasion for it. We are very happy that after 2 years filled with pandemic restrictions, today's global strike by Fridays for Future is taking place again, the climate strike. And of course, Oikos will be a part of it. And fighting for a sustainable future sure isn't easy. Also, since there are so many stakeholders involved and not all policy measures are as effective as one might hope. That's one thing we had to learn in our workshop. As part of the workshop, we were all assigned to different delegations, which then had to negotiate targets in a simulated UN climate summit. We also worked with the En-ROADS climate simulation tool, which is used to test the effectiveness of climate policy measures to achieve the 1.5 degree target as stated in the Paris Agreement. But let's hear from Melina and Lucia, who will tell you more about it. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
So tell me, which delegation were you two assigned to in our summit, and which viewpoints did you have to represent in the negotiations?
I was in the delegation industry and commerce, and in the beginning of the workshop, the workshop leader asked me which delegation I want to be in, and my first thought was, of course, I want to be with the climate activists, but then I thought, maybe it's more interesting and more fun if I choose a delegation that I cannot completely identify with. So I decided to go with industry and commerce. And it was quite interesting to be on the other side for once, because we had to keep energy prices low. We had to boost energy efficiency in transportation, in buildings, and in industry. And we also had to boost electrification of transport, buildings. And of course, we also had to encourage actions from other delegations that did not directly affect our industry, but we had to make sure that actions that do affect commerce directly are not going to be taken.
In the simulation, I took the role of the conventional energies, which are basically all the fossil fuels like oil and gas, but also nuclear energy. And the main goal was, to put it very simply, to make sure that most of the measures that are necessary to combat climate change are not going to take place, because they are going to harm this industry. And for this reason, it's also probably very obvious that I could not identify with this group at all. But for this reason, it was very interesting for me to put myself in their shoes and kind of get to know the logic of this group, get to know it a bit better. So first of all, it was very important for me and my industry to make the point or make sure everyone understands how important this industry is. So that right now over 95% of the energy that is being used comes from fossil fuels and nuclear energy, which just goes to say that currently we rely very much on this industry and on this type of energy, which also means that many people rely on it for their jobs, but there's also a lot of profit at play and a lot of private interest, which should be taken seriously throughout the whole negotiation. But what was also very interesting was that it was recognized from the beginning that we all need to do something against the climate crisis, and we will receive pressure from different sides, not only within the negotiation, but also from our shareholders, from our employees, and other stakeholders to take measures and to support measures against climate change, which is why it was a bit of a delicate situation, as you can imagine, because we needed to make sure, I needed to make sure that measures against climate change are taken that do not really harm me. So for example, one of the measures that would be really important for me to support is the promotion of new technology, technology to kind of suck CO2 out of the atmosphere and put it back into the ground, which would actually mean more profits for me in the future, because the theory here is to kind of make new fossil fuels for the future. But as far as most of the other measures go that I should propose, it was basically making sure that all the typical policy recommendations, like putting a price on CO2 or removing subsidies from fossil fuels, or just increasing the tax on fossil fuels altogether, that none of these measures are basically happening. So my most important task was to make sure to go against some of the measures that are probably going to be proposed.
That sounds very interesting. Sounds like you both were put in very different situations than you would normally represent in your daily lives. Were there also measures that you would not support in reality, but which you had to represent in the negotiations because of your delegation's interests?
One of our main goals of industry and commerce was to keep energy prices low. I mean, that's quite obvious because that's important for the industry to maximize their profits. But in reality, of course, like energy efficiency is a good thing on the one hand, because you don't need as much energy to produce a product. But if energy efficiency rises, then the prices go down. And if energy is cheaper, then you're basically going to use more of it. If you think of it your own, it's quite natural that if you know the energy is cheaper, you're just not going to think about it as much, about how much you use. And that is definitely a very bad effect for the environment, which is why I would definitely not support that in reality. And of course, we had to make sure that actions that directly affect our industry are not going to be taken. But these actions are very important to fight the climate crisis in reality. So I definitely would not support that too.
So the very easy answer is that I wouldn't support any measures that my group was supposed to support or go against. So to use the examples, it was very clear, especially when you put these parameters, or when we put these parameters into the simulation, that an increased CO2 price will be necessary to come close to the goal of below 1.5 degrees. And the same goes for removing subsidies for fossil fuels and also increasing taxes on fossil fuels. I think especially as far as the CO2 price and taxes go, it's just simply important to do that for the reason that there's so much damage that is being done with these industries, and also on the other side, so much profit they have made with that, that it's time that they pay the price for all the pollution that has happened so far. So it's not only necessary, but I think in this way, just the right thing to do. And also on the other side, we need this money to make sure that we have renewable energies and we can subsidize these instead. As far as these new technologies go, I have to admit that before the simulation, I didn't really know much about those. And I read a bit more about it during the workshop and afterwards. And I can simply say that there's no evidence suggesting that these technologies will actually work. So I think it basically seems like a very easy way out and fits perfectly to this way of thinking that we just need more technology, more innovation, more ways to control nature to fix a problem we got into basically also because of that way of thinking. And also, climate crisis is such a big problem, such a big crisis that we simply cannot rely on something that might work. And we definitely need to put all resources into something we actually know will work, like, for example, switching to renewable energies. On the other side, one of the points I needed to convey was that not only the fossil fuel industry is responsible for the problem we have right now, but for example, also agriculture industry, which uses a lot of land, uses a lot of resources, and also emits a lot of greenhouse gases. And I can definitely say that it's also important to make sure that there are appropriate measures taken in this industry. But obviously, it doesn't mean that with the measures against the one and the measures in the fossil fuel industry cannot be taken. But what I will say is that I found it very important for me to take with me from being put in their shoes to make sure that the perspective is taken seriously in terms of really making sure that there is a supported and guided way out of the fossil industry. I mean, it is a fact that many people will lose their jobs, so you need to make sure that there are alternatives and the transition is supported and stuff like that. But that is all possible. And just because it's a challenge doesn't mean it can't be done.
Thank you. It's definitely very interesting to hear your viewpoints on that topic, because I personally was part of the climate activist delegation, so I didn't really have to deal with this problem. But I can imagine that it is very hard to be so torn apart between your own values and a few points that you have to represent as few points of your organization, of your delegation. And I also think that that's something that many people in the industries have to deal with. But yeah, it also broadens your horizon, I would say, to see the viewpoints of other stakeholders. And in our workshop, the proposed measures of each delegation were then simulated in the En-ROADS climate simulation tool to see the immediate consequences. For those who don't know the tool yet, it's a computer program that's actually free. You can use it online with Windows or Mac. And it was developed by Climate Interactive and also the MIT and some other organizations. And it is really cool to use it because you see the immediate consequences of your actions and also how much global warming would change according to your actions. So Melina and Lucia, were there any effects that surprised you in particular or measures that you would have thought would have more impact on the climate in general?
I was actually surprised by the effect of economic growth, because until now, I always thought that growth and, you know, this thinking that our economy such has to grow and there's basically no end. I always thought that that was our biggest problem. But in the simulation, we saw that if we take all of the other measures that we can take, like energy efficiency, electrification, new zero carbon technologies, you know, high carbon prices, etc., then economic growth is not going to raise the temperature that much. I was so surprised because I thought that the fact that our economies are growing and we're producing more and we're consuming more is the main problem that temperature is going to rise. And if we also saw that if we don't take those measures at all, then growth is in fact a big problem and it's going to put up the temperature a lot. But with all the measures that we took, growth wasn't the main problem.
So I have to say the overall thing I was really surprised by is actually how little one of those measures like in and of itself is actually doing. And the message from that we really need efforts from every different side, so less fossil fuels, more renewable fuels, putting a price on carbon, making sure that the energy is used more efficiently, making sure that we stop deforestation, make sure we use less of all the other greenhouse gases. But on the other side, also coming back to what you said, Lucia, I was really surprised at how much, or that the technological side, the one I was referring to before, all these new technologies that might seem so promising, the one with the where you suck the CO2 out of the atmosphere, was actually having an effect, because it's not really, like I said, there's no evidence that it will actually work. So I have to say that with all the lessons this simulation gave me, and it's a really amazing tool, because you can see it can put in so much parameters and you can see and learn so much from it. You should always be, I guess, a bit careful as well as to what the assumptions there are that are made. And in that line, I find it interesting what you said about economic growth, because I had the same, I was surprised by the same thing. And I know that this is a very big and most likely a topic for a different podcast episode, but I'm sure there are other reasons as to why we should question the need to have economic growth, because there will always be other natural limits, even if this tool might suggest that we can kind of offset the negative effect of economic growth.
I can really emphasize what Melina said, that in the model, you can really see that only the combination will really help to achieve the Paris agreements. Only like single measures, like just putting a high carbon price or just moving up energy efficiency, is not going to help us to achieve the 1.5 degree goal.
Yes, I also found that very interesting when doing the workshop, and also what you said about growth. We also have a really cool podcast episode about that with Degrowth Vienna, talking about overconsumption. So it is really difficult to separate also the ethical points and the climate points in this discussion, because there are so much more to it than just how much CO2 is emitted through these and these actions. But yeah, in general, growth also surprised me a lot, and also some other points that you mentioned, I can totally agree with that. And in the discussion, there were heavy discussions when negotiating the different points of views and which measures should be taken, of course, because everyone had different interests. So were there any discussions and disagreements between stakeholders that reminded you especially of the ones that we hear about in politics or the media?
I would say yes. I mean, I think all the viewpoints of the different group, also like you mentioned, Marlena, the perspective of climate activists, or the other perspective also we have heard so far from myself and Lucia, I think they're all very familiar. And I think a lot of it is also happening in the public debate. I mean, I think most of us, also people who might not deal with that as much as we might do, know what the position of, for example, Fridays for Future is. But what I have to say, what really didn't sound familiar to me was how even the playing field was. Like in the end, we all reached a goal, and it was kind of, for me, like being in the position of the conventional energies, it was really, really difficult to make sure that my position is taken seriously. So in the end, I, like I said, like in the position of these conventional energies, I felt like I lost a lot, and I should have, I wasn't able to push forward as many measures as I should have. And I think that part didn't really reflect reality, because in reality, climate activists, for example, don't have the same power in these types of negotiations as a conventional energy industry might have. I think we all, if I remember correctly, had the opportunity to put one measure forth or remove another measure. So it was very fair and very even out the opportunities we had to shape this policy plan. And I think in reality that it's just not the case. I mean, we know that in conventional energies, there's so much profit there. So there's also a lot of power there. So it was a bit too easy, I guess, in that sense. But I think the positions were very familiar.
I can totally agree with Melina. And one point that also just felt very familiar to what we can see that our politicians are doing is just basically putting the blame on the other delegation. And in the game, it was fun. It was funny to just say, oh, it's your fault. And for example, we just told the agricultural delegation that they just have to stop deforestation, but we didn't talk about our own contribution to the climate crisis. And of course, in the game and in the workshop, it was fun. But basically, that is what we can object in real life, in the media all the time.
Yes, I absolutely know what you mean. And Melina, I think you very, very beautifully outlined the fact that it is much more unequal in reality and that big organizations, big enterprises have so many lobbyists and they get the chance to go to these climate summits while normal people who are the most affected by the climate crisis don't really have a voice, or at least it doesn't feel like that. But at this point, I would like to emphasize that with social media and with the fact that we are able to go to climate strikes and go on the street and just show leaders that we have a voice and that we want to contribute to this discussion, we still have influence and that we should all make use of our voices and that it really makes a difference. So my next question to you would be what your main takeaways were after this workshop from a climate policy perspective. So what did you learn?
We could see that this En-ROADS climate simulation tool is actually quite powerful. And you could even point out a date when you want a specific measure to start. So you could say, "And you want to start it now or you want to start it in 10 years. And we saw that it makes a huge difference in achieving the 1.5 degree goal if you start a measure right now or if you started in 20, 30, or 50 years. And of course, as we already mentioned, is that we have to take all of the measures. A single one or some single ones are not going to prevent the climate crisis. We have to act now and we have to take all of the measures that we are able to take.
Yes, thanks, Lucia. That was basically my main takeaway from this workshop as well. But also I really liked what you said about how powerful this tool was. I think in the end, it made it so easily understandable for us what the different policies will do that I kind of took with me in the end that really the question of what we should do isn't that difficult to answer. Like we have a tool for that now. We can clearly see all the different effects, even if it's just an abstraction, of course, of reality. But still, it's very clear what needs to be done. So that's not where the issue is, right? The issue is maybe with what I said before, like where the power lies, who actually makes the decisions of which of those policies actually are taken and are put forth and are supported. So I really, really liked what you said, Melina, about how this is just a message for all of us to use the voice we have and to come together and be very loud and make sure that we are heard in all of this and make sure that all those policies we have discussed now and all of them are needed, that those are actually part of the conversation and are actually going to be taken.
So that sounds like although you two had to represent very difficult points of view in our negotiations, you both have very positive takeaways and just feel that it's time to take action, but we have enough time. In general, would you say that you left the role play with a rather hopeful or more skeptical feeling that we can overcome the climate crisis after learning so much about the different measures and their effects on the climate?
Both, actually. That sounds weird, but hopeful on the one side because we saw that it is in fact possible and we did achieve the 1.5 degree goal. But on the other side, very skeptical because of course in a role play game, it's much more easier than in reality. And also we saw that it's not going to be easy. We have to take so many measures, and you know, all of the delegations, they have so many different goals and what they in what they want to achieve. So in real life, that makes me very skeptical to make sure that they are going to take all of the measures.
Yeah, exactly what Lucia said. Very skeptical, just because it just contributed to the feeling that it's also complex and also complicated, and it's a hard way to go. And really hopeful out of necessity, because I just don't want us to give up.
Yes, I can totally understand you. But for me personally, it was also a rather positive feeling afterwards, because I felt like I had the chance to contribute, which normally I don't have so often. And I feel like decisions are made without ever taking the opinions of the public, the broad public and the normal people into consideration. And you feel so powerless sometimes. And although it was a simulated workshop, I felt like we all worked together so well. And it gave me the feeling that if all people cooperated better and listened to each other, that we could really do this, because as you said, we reached the target, and that was of course a really cool feeling. And yeah, there are so many measures. That's also, there were so many different measures and actions that you can take, and there are so many possibilities. And yeah, I'm still hopeful. And I think the workshop was really great. So one last question from my side for Melina and Lucia. What does your sign for today's global climate strike say?
It says act now. Sounds basic, but that is what it takes. We have to start right now.
Yeah, also in line with that, mine will say people, not profits. Also sounds very simple, but in the end, that's also how simple it is. Like with all the measures we talked about, also, it relates really well to the perspective I had to take in the workshop. If we just make sure that people come before profit, we can all manage this.
Cool. I really love this. That's a great end to this episode. Thank you so much for your amazing insights into the workshop. And yeah, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure to subscribe to Oikast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to never miss an episode. See you all at the climate strike. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. We are Oikos Vienna,
students for sustainable economics and management education.
Be informed, get involved, and make a difference.